Thanks. It's great to see all of you here on our campus. I want to welcome everybody to join us online. And so many fun things that we're celebrating as a church. Let me kind of throw in my plug there for that Christmas gift that Pastor Nick just mentioned. God does something special when you get out of your normal routine. And when we take our kids, our students away to camp, they can really hear from the Lord in a unique way, and they bring that back home with them. So I would encourage you to go ahead and begin to get them signed up for that. Let me speak to our members just for a moment. We're going to have our annual member celebration meeting here in just a few weeks on a Sunday, December 7th. That date's already been mentioned for the New to New Hope. So if you are new to our church, we'd love to invite you to that immediately after the service. And then those of y'all been around for a while, your members, come back up here at 4, and we'll do our meeting about 45 minutes. We'll celebrate all that God's done this year. We will celebrate the budget for next year, ask for you to affirm that, pray over that, and it's going to be a good time together. But I'd like for you to register so we know how many to plan for, and then we also have some things we want to send you ahead of time to read over. So if you'll use that same QR code, get signed up for that. That will be in just a few weeks. We are wrapping up our Pace Setters teaching series today, and our title for today's message that I'm very excited about is A Vision for New Hope's Potential Pace. And this is really a message that you only hear about once a year. It's surrounded around vision and what God can do in and through us together. So I'm excited you're here, but maybe you're just jumping in for the first time. The language Pace Setters is the big idea for the series, which is basically this. We believe Jesus has set the mission for every church, including our church, and generosity then sets the pace. So to the degree that resources are available is to the degree how quickly we can go about accomplishing the mission that Jesus has called us to. And what we're going to look at today is this idea of what could our potential pace here at New Hope Church look like. But maybe you are just jumping in for the first time. So let me give you three quick statements. I didn't put these in your notes, but it kind of foundationally summarizes the series and connects us where we're going to go today in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. First of all, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how God established the principle of first and best in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, and he did so to build trust. That anything you want God to bless, put him first. This requires trust, and he'll bless that area of your life, including financial resources. We talked about how this principle precedes the teaching of tithing in the Bible, where you return 10% to God. That tithing is simply an expression or an application of this principle of first and best. Last week, we talked about Jesus and his particular teaching on money, and he expounded upon this principle of first and best, and he did so to reveal our heart. So Jesus says that where your treasure is, where your money is, there your heart is also. Last week, we talked about the dangers of greed and how it can literally enslave our heart, keep us from hearing God's word. And then finally, what the Holy Spirit does with this principle of first and best is the Holy Spirit guides the implementation of it through local churches so that the gospel message can spread. And I think it's interesting to see how the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, work in unity around this principle of first and best. And literally for 2,000 years of church history, what the Holy Spirit has been doing has been guiding the implementation of this principle through every local church so that the gospel message could continue to be spread. And we're going to talk about a local church today. And this church was in a town called Corinth. That's a church that Paul ministered to quite frequently. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put all the verses up here for you on the screen. But the context of the passage we're about to read is in the letter right before what we're about to read. Paul says, hey, we're about to come visit you. And when we come to visit you, we want to make sure you have the financial gift ready to give like we've previously discussed. And this church in Corinth had been raising money, and they were going to be supporting new ministry initiatives. If we were to think about it in our modern understanding, they were going to be supporting fellow churches and helping those churches get off and running. And Paul's going to give them some instructions. He's basically going to say to these new Christians, as you pray through what you want to give financially, I want you to remember a few things. And I think it's interesting that the things he tells them to remember as new Christians are things that are so helpful for us to remember today as well, whether you're a new Christian or whether you've been a Christian for a long time. So let's pick up the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Here's the first principle, if you're taking notes today, that I think is helpful for us to see. Generosity in the present is connected to blessings in the future. These are new Christians. They didn't know this. They didn't know that if they would sow generously, they would think of sowing seed to harvest wheat or to harvest barley. That made sense to them. Oh yeah, when you sow generously with the seed, you have a bigger harvest in the fall. Paul says, if you'll sow generously as you pray through what financial gift to give, God will bless you in greater abundance in the future. And somewhere along the way, we forget to talk about this enough. So when we talk about giving here at New Hope, obviously we're gonna celebrate all that it goes to. We're gonna celebrate everything that we're able to see accomplished for kingdom purposes because of that. And it benefits the kingdom. But church, just for a moment, it also benefits you. That the reason why I stand up here with great joy in my heart and talk about giving financial resources is I know that if you will trust God and you will obey his word, the blessing is actually for you. That when you sow generously today, you are going to be preparing for future blessing down the road. And so many times we just forget this simple principle. Paul gives us this reminder to these new Christians and to us as well. But he continues in verse 10. Now he's talking about God there, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. That would have made sense. They stored their seed somewhere. They knew if they were gonna sow it generously, that would take up all of their seed. And Paul says, well, God will actually then supply back to your store of seed. That's pretty remarkable. He will then enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way. Now, I looked up that phrase in the original language because I wanted to see what every way meant. And here's what it means. Every way. It's pretty remarkable that Paul's saying as you're generous with financial resources, it affects everything, every area. You'll be blessed in every way, enriched in every way. So that, here's why, you then can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity, that will result in thanksgiving to God. There's a lot being said here. Let me see if I can summarize it with a really simple statement for you to jot down. You cannot outgive God. You just can't do it. These are new Christians. They're like, wait a second. If I sow generously, what am I gonna do? Paul's like, God will replace it. He'll put seed back in your storehouse. If I sow generously, how will these areas of my life be affected? Paul says, you don't need to worry about that. God will bless you in every way. If you think you can outgive God, go for it. You're gonna have remarkable stories to share. You're gonna have incredible testimonies of God's faithfulness and God's blessing in your life. You cannot outgive God. Whatever you give, God will bless you back in an abundant way. In fact, some of you have been giving for a long time. You're rolling with me. You're like, man, yeah, you need to keep sharing this because there's people, I want to see them experience blessing as well. If you've been giving, perhaps you've even been tithing for years. Maybe sometime this week, here's a fun little exercise. Just go back the last decade. Could you go back the last decade of your life and add up how much you've tithed to God? Like, what's the number? And I want you to see if God's replaced it. Did he replace it? Like, what's the bottom line number? And then did he replace it? I've talked to so many people over the years when I asked them that question, they've said things like this. I added it up, and what's interesting is not only has God replaced it, he replaces it annually with my income. I'm like, wait, back up for a second. You're telling me that God gives you every year what you've given him one time. They said, yes, this is what 2 Corinthians 9 teaches. That as you sow the seed generously, God replaces the seed in your storehouse in abundance. You therefore cannot outgive God. But he continues in this passage, and I think this is the part that unfortunately is easy to miss, and maybe we've missed this along the way, just in our overall discipleship. Verse 12, this service you perform, talking about giving, talking about generous, is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, But it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Now, I don't think we've missed that. We understand that when we give, it meets the needs of others. We understand that when we give, it's an overflow. It's an expression of thanks to God. But look at this part, verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, interesting phrase, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Here's the principle. I think it's really important for us to see this. Obedience and generosity actually accompanies becoming a Christian. That part of the evidence that change has occurred at a heart level, part of the evidence of the good news of the gospel has taken root in your life is that you're actually obedient when it comes to the financial resources you've been entrusted with. And I think sometimes we just miss this step. Sometimes with new Christians, we'll talk about the importance of baptism. Why is baptism important? It's a step of obedience. We celebrated that earlier in our service. And when I talk to folks about baptism, one of the things I try to remind them of is there are some things in the Bible that you'll never understand until you obey them. So baptism doesn't make any sense until you do it. And then you say, wow, this makes sense. It's the same way with giving. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense on the surface. I'm supposed to return to God a certain percentage and then try to live off the rest. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, I know. It doesn't make any sense at all when we think about it through our own human understanding. But when we obey, God supplies the understanding. When we obey, God supplies the blessing. So we'll tell new Christians about the importance of baptism, prayer, sharing their faith, reading God's word, gathering with God's people, experiencing biblical community. But we don't ever bring up money. We don't talk about financial resources. And isn't it interesting that for new Christians in the first century, 25 years, 30 years post-resurrection, they're already being taught this? And might I suggest that part of your overall discipleship is how you steward the financial resources God has entrusted you with. Paul goes so far as to say in the passage we just read, it actually proves. It proves that this transformation has taken place inside your heart. In many ways, similarly to the fruits of the Spirit, evidence that there's been a change at a heart level. Obedience and generosity would fall in line with that as well. And then Paul's going to conclude this teaching on generosity with a pretty remarkable verse. I love it. Look what he says, real quick. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Isn't that ironic? The entire passage is about us bringing God a gift, but Paul finishes it by saying thanks to God for actually giving us this indescribable gift to be able to participate in giving back to God. Now, why does he finish the passage that way? It's the last principle I'm asking you to jot down. God does it this way for our benefit. The whole thing, establishing the principle of first and best. Jesus teaching us how our hearts are tied to money, the Holy Spirit guiding the implementation, local churches spreading the good news of the gospel. We're participating with God. We're trusting him with our financial resources. And he does all of this for our benefit, not his. Please never forget this. God does not need your money. God does not need my money. God could have gone about accomplishing his purposes a number of ways. Here's how he chose to do it. Use normal people empowered by the Holy Spirit who will trust him with their resources. Remarkable. Now, why did he do it that way? He did it that way, church, for our benefit, not his. Now, some of y'all are really excited because you've written down all 4 points. You're like, we're getting out of church early today. You're not, okay? I could feel the anticipation in the room. We're just getting started, all right? Because this biblical passage is gonna help serve as a foundation for how do we really begin to establish what would the pace around here look like? And when you're trying to figure that out, like what's our potential pace? How quickly could we move, accomplishing the mission, available resources? What's that gonna look like? How do we settle on that? And I think one of the first places you can start It's not the end all be all, but it's a good place to start is with attendance. And so we pulled some attendance numbers this week. And by we, I mean someone other than me. And so we pulled some attendance numbers this week. We have a fantastic team. And they even compiled them for us so we can make some sense of them. And before we even talk about the giving, I think it's pretty remarkable just to celebrate like what's actually we're seeing with our attendance. And so from last fall to this fall, you can see every single month there's been incredible growth. I mean, from August to September to October. And honestly, I don't know where all of these new people are fitting, all right? Because we're out of space. I think our new kids space has obviously contributed to that. But before we talk about setting the potential pace, can we just take a minute and celebrate this growth? I think that's pretty remarkable. Praise God. We give him all the glory for it. Now, once you kind of see what your overall average attendance is, you then have to try to figure out something from that. And that something from that is, well, how many people really attend New Hope? And what I mean by that is when we gather in this room every single week, if it's 900 people in the room, if it's 1,000 people in the room, it's a different 900 in the room every single week. Some of y'all attend more frequently than others, and that's okay. We tell people all the time, perfect attendance is not a requirement. We know there's other things happening in your life. Our production team does such a great job of making our worship services available on demand. But we don't have the same people who show up every single week. So how do you gauge how many people call your church home? And they're actually people that this is what they do. Like they study this, they research this, they help, you know, equip pastors with this information. So what these folks would say is that whatever your average attendance is, you can pretty much double that. So if you doubled that, that's basically the number of people who are attending your church with some level of frequency. Maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, maybe three times a month. And I thought that was interesting because this past Easter, we went just over 5,000 people. So we had six services, we had over 5,000 people attend, we had close to 100 first-time guests. So out of those 5,000, only about 100 of them were first-time guests. And so I thought, well, that makes sense. So again, I didn't do like an in-depth study on this, y'all. Okay, I didn't like read Excel files for hours. Okay, this is just a little bit of intuition. Where are we at right now? What were the Easter numbers again? You know, can y'all give that to me? But I think it's fair to say, just rounding, just kind of generally speaking, there's probably about 5,000 people who call New Hope home. Now, they all don't show up on one Sunday unless it's Easter. And even then, we make some of them come on Thursdays and Fridays. Y'all get the drill. Okay, anyway, So then I said, wait a second. I wonder how many out of those 5,000 people, I asked our finance team in our office, how many people have given at least $1,000 this year? Now, I came up with that number because we just wrapped up October. And I thought 10 months so far, if you've given $100 a month so far this year to New Hope, then you would have given $1,000. And even the language I just used there, let's make sure we understand at a heart level. Yes, you're giving the money to New Hope, but at an even greater principled way of expressing that, you're giving to God through New Hope. And it's always a partnership with how we're accomplishing kingdom purposes. Now, I know there are plenty of people who give more than $100 a month, but I just thought, like, let's just start there, okay? So out of the 5,000 potential people, is everybody tracking with me still? When I start talking math, I just see glazed looks. Are we good? Okay, good. All right. So out of the 5,000 people who call New Hope home, how many of them have given $1,000 so far this year, $100 a month? And here was the answer. The answer was 870. And I thought that was a little low. If I can just be honest, that was my first reaction was, okay, I think that's a little low. 870 out of 5,000. But then I kind of had a simultaneous reaction where I immediately was incredibly grateful. Because think about everything we celebrate every single week. I mean, every single week when we celebrate all that God is doing, whether it's, you know, baptisms or baby dedications or something in the community or something in the DR or something in our children's ministry. Remember, we're celebrating stuff around here all the time. And we say nothing happens without your faithfulness and generosity and giving. And so just for a moment, I want, like, let's just right-size this. Think about all that we are seeing God do off of the faithfulness of 870 people. That's pretty remarkable to stop and think about. And one of the things I felt like the Lord has been really working on me lately is, yes, As the pastor, it's good to celebrate all that God is doing. But as the pastor, it's also my responsibility to cast a little bit of vision of what could be, of what could our potential be if all of us were actually stepping into obedience, being generous with the resources God has entrusted us with. So plenty to celebrate now, but I think there's actually potential for more. It reminds me of something that happened a little over 2 years ago. So we moved here 2.5 years ago when God called me to be the new senior pastor here at New Hope Church. I'd previously been serving as a senior pastor at a church in Montgomery, Alabama. We moved here in the summer of 2023, and our middle son plays football, and so immediately I tried to find him a football team to play for, and we settled on the East Chatham Chargers and a group of 6th and 7th grade boys, and they reached out to me and asked me if I would be the new head coach. Now, we were still living in Alabama at the time, and I said, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really know anybody there. They said, don't worry about it. We've got some assistant coaches. We've got a team. We just need a head coach. You're moving from Alabama. And I was like, you're stereotyping me. So I, but we moved up here, and I took the gig, and we started playing football, and I love it. I love these young men, love the coaches I was coaching with, and it was really awesome. And I learned a few things as the season progressed. One of the first things I learned is that in North Carolina, there's something called a mercy rule. We didn't have that in Alabama. So the mercy rule is once you get up by 28 points, you've won the game, okay? In Alabama, you just keep scoring, all right? I mean, you just keep going. You beat them into submission, and you start at age 5, right? That's how it works down there, okay? But up here, you know, we don't want to hurt feelings. And so at 28 points, you know, game over, can't score anymore, or you can keep scoring, we did, but they won't put the numbers up on the board, okay? So you've won the game, but you keep playing so all the kids get an opportunity to play. And we, halfway through the season, we've mercy ruled every team we've played by halftime. That's right. That's how we roll. And so I'm on my way to practice one night, and I'm thinking, I might need to shift some expectations with this team. There's some really good things happening, but I actually think we have the potential for more. So after we warmed up that night, I gathered them all around, all the assistant coaches, and I said, hey guys, I don't know if y'all noticed this, but we're doing pretty well this season. 6th and 7th grade boys, you've got to be obvious with them, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, so here's the thing. I actually think we have the potential to win the championship. Like, I think we can do it. And I just want to say that out loud. We're going to shift our expectations. We're going to reset our goals. And from this point forward, we're going to coach you with the goal of winning a championship. We're not coaching you just to win on Saturday. We'll take care of that by halftime. We are coaching you to win a championship. And I saw all of them kind of perk up, and I got their attention. Nobody had ever challenged them that way. No one had ever pointed out the potential that they had in them for what could be. And so the rest of the season, they were a more focused team. We continued to mercy rule everybody. It was awesome. And we did go undefeated. Unfortunately, we did lose in the playoffs. We didn't win the championship. And yes, it still bothers me. It does still bother me, all right? I wanted to see those young men get to celebrate winning a championship. But in many ways, that's kind of how I feel right now. Lots of really great things happening. It's awesome. We had a great season, all right? Things are going really well here at the church. But just for a moment, what could be? What could our potential be when it comes to where God is calling us? What could that look like in the future? So I put together something, and again, this is intuitive. I didn't use hard data with this. I came up with labels that I thought made sense, but it's this idea of pace setters giving levels. That there's different levels that each of us can give at. And if we all just give at the level we're able to, it's going to set the pace potentially at a much greater rate than any of us could ever imagine. So before I go through these different levels, again, let me take you back to a verse. I read it earlier. I kind of read over it quickly, but I think it's super important to have the right heart when we look at this. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's not just about what the money goes towards, it's where the money comes from. Cheerful giver, not reluctant, not under compulsion, doing so because you genuinely desire to do it. So let's kind of walk through these different levels. I didn't put these in your notes, but you might want to jot down a few things along the way. So the first level that I would say is a baseline level. And this would be anyone who could give between $100 to $299 per month. And I wanted to start there because for a lot of you, you've never given. It's just not something you've ever really thought was an option for you. And I think I know why. Because pastors like me talk about tithing, and we do. And the reason why we do is because God's word teaches it. And I do believe that returning the tithe is returning the full 10%. But here's what God has shown me over the years, that for a lot of folks, that's just not a realistic place for them to start. And here's what I want to hear. I want you to hear me saying this, and that's okay. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. And I don't want you to get so overwhelmed by a percentage that you never even get started. But if you just think about $100 a month, that's $25 a week. You're spending that at Starbucks. So it's gonna be hard for me to be convinced that anybody who attends New Hope and calls New Hope home couldn't at least start there. Now, here's the power in that, okay? Just for a second. If 1,000 people in our church gave $100 a month, that's $1.2 million annually. Now, you can't get the same return on investment for $100 a month anywhere else. This is what it looks like for God to use a church. Individually, $100 a month doesn't sound like a lot. When you put it together, the cumulative effect, it's exponential. 1,000 people giving $100 a month, $1.2 million annually. So maybe that's where you're at. I would encourage you to get started. And when you give, you can give with your phone, you can give using your computer, go to New Hope, our website, newhope.org, if I can say it. When you give on our website, it gives you the option to select recurring gift. Choose that. Recurring gift. What does that mean? That means that whatever date you choose, 1st, 15th, 30th, it is going to give on a recurring basis, on an automated basis. You're not going to have to go in and manually do it. It's a way to keep yourself accountable. So you might want to sync that up to your checking account, sync that up to a credit card if you like to get the points. If you like Dave Ramsey, you're mad at me right now. I understand that, okay? I'm just giving you options. That's between you and the Lord, all right? You figure it out. But you set it up to recur. That's what Morgan and I do. So our gift comes out on the first of every month. And it's just recurring. We don't have to think about it. Now, we can go in and give additionally as we see fit, but it's a recurring basis. And if you would do that right now, if you've never given before, I'm just telling you, over the next several months, you would begin to see God do some things in your life and tangibly begin to grow your faith. So many times we get caught up in the big numbers and we miss out on actually the power is when many people participate at whatever level they can. Now, I chose 1,000 people because these giving levels, I'm working off of the total number of 2,000. So I could have said 5,000 people call New Hope home, but I just thought, let's just use 2,000. I mean, if we're around 2,600 people a month, I know that includes kids, all that. That just seemed like a more realistic, reasonable number, okay? So if 1,000 of those 2,000 gave $100 a month, 1.2 annually, okay? Next level. Next level in our pace setters giving level is the committed level. This is anybody who would give between $300 and $999 a month. Now, the reason why I'm using the language committed is because if you're giving at that level, it's intentional, it's proportionate, it's systematic. You've probably done a little bit of math. You may even be tithing. Like, you understand, like, this is something that I am intentionally doing, and I think that carries with it the connotation and the understanding of being committed. Like, this is, you're bought in. This is something that you are fully on board with when it comes to trusting God with your resources. Now, here's the power in this number when we do it all together. If 700 people in our church gave $500 per month, so I just chose kind of the middle ground. You know, some, maybe it's 300, for others, maybe it's 800. I chose 500. But if 700 people gave 500 per month, that's 4.2 million annually. That's pretty remarkable to think what 700 people can actually do when they just take that step wherever God has them. And for some of you, this is where you're at. Like, you're already at that level, praise God. For some of you, like, you've never given before, and you already know the $100, that's not really where you're at when it comes to income. And so this may be where you decide you want to take that step, and I would encourage you to do the same thing, that you would actually just start with the recurring. We've actually had some people share some pretty remarkable testimonies over the last couple of weeks with some of the pastors on our staff where they've just started doing this. Like, in this series, they realized these are steps I need to take, and they went in right away and they just started and they set it up in recurring. This may be where you're at with the committed level, all right? Next, is what I'm calling the generous level. Now, to be fair and make sure we all have the right heart, someone might be technically giving at the committed level, but they're being generous with what God's entrusted them with. I know, okay? At some level, all of the terms break down, but we just had to have some type of language to move us through this. But suffice it to say, if you're giving between $1,000 and $4,999 a month, you're being generous with the financial resources that God has entrusted you with. And obviously, to the degree that you sow generously, is what 2 Corinthians 9 taught us, is to the degree that you are able to reap a general harvest, and that certainly increases the pace with which we can go about accomplishing the mission, okay? So what's the number there? I chose a smaller number, okay? I have no idea. Again, this is me praying. This is me jotting things down. This is me coming before the Lord. Out of 2,000 people, could 250 people in our church give $1,000 a month? I don't know. I mean, that's between the people and God. I'm the messenger. I'm casting the vision. Hey, this is what could be. Like I told my football team, this is what could be. This is me saying, hey, this is what could be. If 250 people in our church gave $1,000 a month, that's $3 million annually. That's pretty remarkable. And out of 2,000 people, I mean, let's stretch it back to five. Out of the 5,000 people who call New Hope home, are there 250 of them that God has blessed in a way where that's something that they could do? I don't know. But I will say this, living where we live, I think there's certainly the potential for that. I mean, we live in a pretty incredible area. Not all places are the same. I hope some, if you've only lived here your whole life, maybe you don't always recognize, this is a pretty remarkable place. I mean, this is an abundant place. There's lots of great things happening here, okay? So who knows? This might be a step that many of you can take. But we'll keep going because I do think there are two more levels. The greater impact level, $5,000 and $9,990 a month. Clearly, if you're giving at that level, the resources that you are giving are being used to make a greater impact. And it's remarkable when you start giving. And it's remarkable when churches start making investments in other places. And so we talk a lot about the ministry that we do in the DR. Money goes further there. I mean, you can do more in construction with $1,000 in the DR than you can do with $1,000 here. There's an exponential component to that. As we begin to look more here locally, there's some very specific needs that we've been made aware of over the last several months that we're gonna begin to step into in the new year. And these resources are able to grow at an exponential rate from a kingdom perspective when people are giving at a greater impact level. And they say, that's impossible. Like, how many people could give at that level? They all attend the 9 o'clock service, so I wore them out, all right? Don't worry about it, okay? Y'all are off the hook at 11. No, I'm kidding, all right? I'm kidding. I have no idea. I don't know. But the Lord laid the number 30 on my heart. I don't know, are there 30 people in our church? This is between them and the Lord. I don't know. I don't know where they're at financially. I don't know how the Lord has blessed them. But I do know that there are some people, I don't know if these people exist in our church, I'm just speaking generically here, that $5,000 a month, they wouldn't even think about it. Like, God has blessed people like that with abundance. And maybe God's blessed you that way. And you don't know what to do with that. I mean, you're a high performer. You've done really well in your career. It's generated a lot of resources. And you're not exactly sure, you know there's probably some things that could be done with it. And just for a minute, you may not necessarily think that your church could actually do something with it. I asked somebody years ago, why do you think people who give millions of dollars, like there are people who will write a check for like $10 million to like a Christian university or like Compassion International. I said, why don't you think that person ever gives a $10 million check to the local church? And you know what he told me? He said, because they know it would split their church. Because everybody would argue about what to do with the money. And I thought, you know what? You've been to church a few times, right? Isn't that a sad indictment? Listen, if you're sitting on those types of resources, and you're like, I don't know what New Hope would do with those resources. That's part of why we're in this series. We're talking about what God has in store for us for the future. There's plenty of vision. There's plenty of mission that God's called us to. And it would quicken the pace that we'd be able to step into those things. But again, if 30 people in our church, $5,000 a month, that's $1.8 million annually. And then finally, kind of the highest giving level, Kingdom Legacy, $10,000 per month and up. And there's some of you here today that that's what God has in store for you in your future. He just does. Like, you're on that trajectory. You're on that trajectory with your earning income, and you're on that trajectory with your heart growth and with your trust of the Lord. And like I've said over and over in this series, if you want God to bless you in the future, show him that you can be trusted with what he's blessed you with right now. I think for some of you, this is where you'll be in the next 5 to 10 years. Some of you may be there now. I have no idea. I have no idea. But I did, the Lord led me to this number. And so, you know, I jotted it down. I turned it in. We're going to put it up on a slide. If 20 people gave $1,000 per month, I don't know. Not 1,000, 10,000. If 20 people gave $10,000 per month here at New Hope, 2.4 annually. And just so you know, I pray for the day where it's 200. That's my prayer. God's a God of abundance. He's not a God of scarcity. God can do more than we could ever ask or imagine. If I'm not asking big things of God, I am not serving this church well. I'm gonna ask big things of God. And listen, if you are a small business owner or you're an entrepreneur or you've launched into an initiative that you feel like God has led you to, I'm praying that your endeavor succeeds. I'm praying that God blesses you with abundance. And I'm praying that God has a hold of your heart and that you trust him with those resources. I would love to have a church of people who are earning well and trusting God well and employing people well and treating them well and providing insurance for them well. See, God's people can do a lot of things with resources when our hearts are aligned with him. And I do think he has that in store for us down the road. You can clap, it's okay. Some of y'all have never clapped about money. Wow, we can clap about that? Yeah. I think we should clap some more. Y'all kind of beat me to it because I was gonna ask you to clap when I showed you my next slide. So don't clap, okay? But that was a good warm up. Because I do think when you see this, it's pretty remarkable. Again, I have no idea, no idea. I've been trying to reawaken the ability to dream. Has anybody else had life beat that out of them? I've been trying to reawaken it a little bit. And as I've been dreaming and as I've been praying and as God's kind of, you know, showing me some different things, I'm jotting some stuff down here and there, I'm asking for God to bless people who call New Hope home. I mean, I have no idea, church. I have no idea. But I do think it's my responsibility to say what could be. So when you add all of that up together, all of those folks, all those numbers, 2,000 people, add them all together. If 2,000 people called New Hope home, gave generously at that level, our potential pace, y'all, it's $12,600,000 annually. I think that's worth applauding. I think that's worth cheering. I think that's worth seeing. Why not us? Why not now? At the end of this year, if we stay on track, we'll probably bring in around $5.8 million, praise God. We've stewarded those resources well. We've seen a lot of great things happen. I believe with full trust and integrity, as a church, we have demonstrated to God, our Heavenly Father, that we can be trusted with resources, that we will invest them in kingdom purposes. We will just not consume them. We'll use them for kingdom purposes. But just for a minute, New Hope, wouldn't it be remarkable if we began to set this type of pace? You say, well, when's that gonna happen? I don't know. I have no idea. Isn't discipleship involved, of course? Aren't there spiritual next steps we need to take to get us there? Absolutely, all the things. But isn't that remarkable to see what the potential pace could possibly be? Can I paint a picture for you of what that would be like? Here's what that would be like. We would always say yes. We would always say yes. Everywhere you went, you would be on mission, fully empowered and equipped to say yes. You'd meet it, you would find out about a need and you'd say, let me just go ahead and speak up on behalf of my church. We will take care of that. And we'd set up an email address where you would let us know, I've committed another $100,000. That's the type of church I want to lead, where our people feel like, not only can I stop and pray for you, I can pray for you and then I can tangibly get you connected to what it is that you actually need, which is a roof over your head for the next 6 months. That's the kind of church I think God could call us to be. That when Pastor Nick or myself were having lunch with a person who's like, I just feel like God's laid it on my heart to go into the mission field, but I don't know what to do. We'd be able to say, well, fortunately for you, we actually have this ministry where you can begin to take some steps. And we fully fund missionaries that we send out from New Hope Church. It'd be remarkable to be having lunch with someone who says, I think God's laid it on my heart to plant a church. And for me to be able to say, well, listen, let me go ahead and just take the biggest concern off the table. If you choose to plant a church, we'll finance it for the first 5 years. Wouldn't that be remarkable? See, this is what it could look like if we're meeting our potential pace. And I don't know about y'all, but that sounds like fun. So let's look at this one more time. These different levels. Again, God does not hold you responsible for what you don't have, but you are accountable for what you do have. Where are you at in this? It's between you and the Lord. We're not making you turn anything in or anything like that in our services today. But as you're moving towards the end of this year, as you're beginning to pray for how you want to set things up in your financial house for next year, I think that it's good to see where you're at. Is God calling you to step into a new level with how you trust him with the resources he's trusted you with? Don't forget, God set all of it up this way for our benefit, not his. Would you join me as we pray together? So God, we thank you for doing that. Thank you that trusting you with financial resources is the most tangible way that we build our trust in you. And God, I think you knew that about us. I think you knew we needed something tangible. So thank you for setting it all up this way. God, it takes faith and courage to trust you with resources when so much of life is just bearing down on us. Lord, as we go into this time of response, my prayer is that we would just lay those things at your feet. We'd stop carrying burdens that were never ours to carry to begin with. God, thank you that you're good. God, thank you that you can be trusted. God, thank you for the generosity of the people who call New Hope home. But God, plant deep within us a passion and a vision and a dream of what could be as we all partner together with you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, can I invite you to stand? As you do, let's worship together.